Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Aaron Downtown Brown.
Hey.
And the other co-host, Ethan Weaver.
Commish, how we doing?
What is up, boys? I don't know if you guys knew this, but it's actually a little bit of a milestone around here today. Anyone want to take a guess of what that might be?
I'll kick it to you, Aaron.
Ooh, what is that milestone? I'll just let you unveil it. I don't want to wait.
Okay. Well, with the Super Bowl in the rearview mirror, we are proud to announce that this is the first episode of season four of Sunday Surefire. So that's a big milestone for us. We've been on here for now. This will be our fourth NFL season that we're covering, and we thought this was a good time to kind of draw that line between the end of 2023 and the start of 2024, because what we're talking about tonight is some rookie draft coverage. That's right. The NFL Combine, for those that don't know, is coming up probably maybe even by the time you're listening to this, it'll be underway. It begins Thursday, February 29th. So that's the kind of the first milestone of the NFL offseason. And for Dynasty, it's a big deal because we get a look at all these draft prospects for the first time since their college seasons ended, most of which in December. So it's really good to get those testing measurables in there so we can kind of start to form a player profile for all these incoming rookies. And so it's kind of gives us something to look forward to. We went through a two-round mock draft exercise. We used a 12-team Superflex tight end premium format. We did half PPR for non-tight ends, and the tight ends are a full point PPR scoring. Kind of just a new wave, really. It's kind of taking over the Dynasty landscape. It's personally my favorite format to play as well. So looking forward to that. We'll go through all the picks one at a time. Just know that we did this draft more so in a vacuum, where if you specific Dynasty team, like if you have team needs, like you need a quarterback or whatever, or you need a wide receiver, you might prioritize that in your rankings. But for this exercise, we didn't take into account any of that. We just kind of went best player available as we saw it. So we rotated through. It was a snake draft. Ethan had the first overall pick. I was second, and then Aaron was third, and then went from a snake from there. So we'll take our time. We'll comb through these players, and we'll give you everything that you know on those guys. And just know, too, that you know, once the combine comes and goes, once the NFL draft comes and goes, the rankings that we're talking about tonight are almost certainly going to be different come the draft season in, you know, late April, early May, whenever you do your actual rookie draft. So let's consider the table set with that front, and we'll just get right into the action with the number one pick in the 2024 rookie draft. Ethan, who are you grabbing off the board?
Yes, with a huge emphasis on pre-combine and pre-NFL drafts. Obviously, this mock is subject to change. It's probably going to change a ton in the next few months. But I took Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101, wide receiver out of Ohio State. I don't need to go too much into Marvin Harrison Jr. The guy is an absolute stud. I mean, depending on what you look at, people have him listed at 6'3", 6'4", 190 to 205 pounds. But he's I think he's the safest pick in these rookie drafts. And I know, obviously, if you need a quarterback, I think the 101 probably should be Caleb Williams if that's a position of need. Superflex, we all want to build around the quarterback position. But I just know I've been burned before trying to reach for that quarterback. And I do think Caleb Williams is a good prospect. But, I mean, you don't have to look too far in your rearview mirror to see draft classes like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. I remember I took Trey Lance over Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm still kicking myself for that. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not gonna make that mistake again. I'm going with best player available, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, you're never going to go broke taking at least what's considered safe money in this particular case. And I am in lockstep with Marvin Harrison Jr. He is my number one player off the board in Superflex formats. That did leave me at the 102 to go with Caleb Williams. That was my selection in that spot. You know, in most years, you know, grabbing a top QB off the board isn't really a bad thing, because if that pick hits, you know, you could set yourself up for 10 plus years of success at that position. In all likelihood, Williams is going to be the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. So he's going to be just about as safe as an asset as you can find for the next few years. You know, when you're the number one pick in the draft, it just buys you so much runway with a franchise and so many opportunities to fail, which is important in Dynasty if you don't come out of the gate swinging. So he's definitely going to get that. PFF had him ranked as the 11th highest quarterback in the nation in 2023. He has taken some minor knocks in the process, but you know, when you're kind of the standout guy in a class for two full years, that kind of comes with the territory. We're kind of looking for nits to pick over time, and that's kind of what happened to him. But his 3-year college tape kind of really just spoke for itself. Spent time at Oklahoma and USC. Through the air, he posted 93 touchdowns, just 14 picks in that time frame. Also added 27 rushing touchdowns. So that dual threat skill set, running and passing, which is what we want to see in fantasy. And the upside of Williams is just so tremendous that I couldn't make this pick fast enough at 102. Aaron, what'd you do at 103?
Yeah, so we're kind of going back and forth, and I think this is kind of a good conversation where I think a lot of NFL teams have the QB need, so we're definitely going to be in for an exciting draft with some of these top prospect QBs. But also, too, what we've seen in years past is they want to pair them up, pair those rookie QBs with wide receivers, too, right? So I actually went back to wide receiver with Malik Nabers, another guy where I think, like, Marvin Harrison's kind of stealing a little bit more of the, I guess, the highlight as far as just like the name and how great of a prospect he is coming out of college. But I think Malik Nabers, I think all the scouts show, like, you know, his tape last year is just, you know, pretty exciting to watch as well. And I think, you know, if Marvin Harrison is 1A. I know a lot of scouts out there are saying Malik Nabers is 1B to Harrison as well. Some actually I've seen it like Nabers more than Harrison, which is kind of surprised me. So I went with a positional player at the third pick as well. So I went Nabers here at the third pick.
I don't mind this either. I mean, Nabers is climbing fast in the process. I mean, you put the tape in on this guy and he's just like crazy explosive. You know, he's popping off for long touchdowns. College DBs couldn't cover him. He was awesome for LSU last season. And PFF actually had him as the number one ranked wide receiver last year too. So just everything gets backed up on Nabers for sure.
All right. Yeah. So Ethan, do you have something on Nabers?
No, I was just going to say Nabers in a lot of draft classes would be the wide receiver one. Obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is an absolute phenomenal prospect, but Nabers is right up there with him. PFF, their player comp for him is Antonio Brown. So, I mean, that's a Hall of Famer right there. So Nabers, I mean, I'd be ecstatic to get him in any of my rookie drafts.
For sure. Definitely, you know, I know that's kind of the move in recent years too, is to try to solidify yourself with a young, rookie wide receiver that you can keep on your team for years to come. Right. I think, so mentioning, I had the back-to-back picks here. I did go back and forth. So we did a true quarterback, wide receiver, quarterback, back and forth here with our top four picks. I went Drake May here. Obviously I think landing spots as we keep talking on throughout the night, really, really depend. But, I think Drake May being another top QB prospect, especially if, you know, being a year one starter, I think, you know, with him being up there this year too, I'd be comfortable with, at least at this point in where I see the progression of the draft going, I'd be comfortable with Drake May. UNC, I like the way that he, you know, just the pocket presence, but he can scramble. But you know, I do think, you know, what a lot of teams are looking for is kind of the Mahomes-esque features where if you can keep your eyes down the field and make the big plays, but keep the play alive. And that's certainly what Drake May can do too. So I took Drake May at the fourth pick here.
Yeah, I think at the 104, a quarterback probably should be taken here, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I feel like Drake May is the quarterback that's kind of taken the most heat thus far from everything I've been hearing in some of the podcasts and things I've been reading, podcasts I've been listening to. It sounds like Drake May is getting some negative press out there. I've heard like the Commanders are completely out on Drake May, and it's basically Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, and then Drake May's falling down boards. I don't know how true that is. Obviously it's hard to kind of believe anything before the NFL draft, but I almost feel like we put these quarterbacks or these players on our microscopes, and people like to just nitpick and really trying to find ways to kind of bring these players down. I mean, we have previous draft classes where guys like Josh Allen and Justin Herbert were quote unquote falling before the NFL draft. And obviously those two players were massive hits. And I think Drake May does have all the tools to be a good NFL quarterback. He's obviously has the prototypical size. He can move, and he has a very good arm. So I don't think essentially you're basically just seeing who you like better, Drake May or Jayden Daniels. I think Jayden Daniels offers a little more upside fantasy wise. So I probably would have had Jayden Daniels over Drake May in a purely fantasy sense. But at this point, I mean, with the information we have, I don't think you can really go wrong.
Yeah, I actually agree with that sentiment. And yes, maybe you both stole some of my thunder here before I reveal pick 105, but I'm actually going to be going Jayden Daniels, and I was happy to see him sitting there for me. He slipped through. I would have him one spot above Drake May if the draft was happening right now. Long way to go, so we'll see. But you know, I was happy to grab a top three quarterback prospect at the fifth pick in the draft. If you look at Daniels, he was in college for a while and appeared in 55 career games at the collegiate level between Arizona State and LSU. He's really improved dramatically since he started his career as a freshman in 2019. His senior season at LSU in particular was really one that vaulted him into what's likely going to be a top five selection in the NFL draft in April. In fact, PFF had him graded very high as well at the quarterback position. He was number one overall, so can't beat that spot. TD to INT ratio of 40-4. His final season in college, which is just off the charts good, a 10-1 TD to INT rate speaks for itself. But he also had a ridiculous rushing upside. He had 1,134 yards on the ground and 10 touchdowns on the ground. Just screams Konami Code quarterback at the NFL level. And if there, if their future isn't any knock on this player, it's his size, listed at 6'3", 185, maybe just the durability of it all, staying healthy at the NFL level, getting hit by these monsters of human beings. That might be a concern, but I'm happy to take a shot on him in the top half of the first round of my Superflex leagues wherever I get the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Jayden Daniels, what he did this past year was very impressive, obviously winning the Heisman. I think he gives you everything you're looking for fantasy-wise just in your rookie drafts, but also the NFL. I mean, the NFL is trending towards these dual-threat quarterbacks. I think if Jayden Daniels can put on some weight, I think that would be a good thing because he is kind of slight of frame. But other than his frame, he's done everything he needed to do to lock himself as probably a top two pick in the real NFL draft, that is.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, there's a real chance that he usurps Drake May for that spot. And maybe if you want to throw some money out there, you can maybe toss it into a parlay, right, Aaron?
That's right.
Oh,
that's
I gotta hammer it.
Yeah, Aaron's our parlay all day, probably a parlay all night, our net guy for sure. And hey, we got those on the website as well, those t-shirts. I know Aaron's rocked his out in the past, and that's SundaySurefire.com. Check it out there. All of our merchandise, all of our blog work, all of that's on there as well. So lots of good stuff to check out on there. But let's keep this draft moving, fellas, here. Ethan, what are you doing here now that you're up at the 106?
Hey, all those parlays are winners too, right, Aaron?
That's right. That's right. They're winners. Winners never lose. Them at least.
So, yes, the 106, this is a tight end premium mock draft, but even if it wasn't, I think Brock Bowers at the 106 it was my pick. I thought it was a good call. I know there's another player that I took next that I know people are probably splitting hairs against, and you could see it go either way, but Brock Bowers is just one of the more well-rounded tight end prospects to enter the NFL draft. At Georgia, he was the SEC's freshman of the year. In both his sophomore and his junior seasons, he was an All-American and the John Mackey Award winner, which is the nation's top tight end. I mean, he is slightly undersized at 6'4", 240, but I mean, pound per pound, a very strong player, a very capable blocker, and he's obviously an absolute beast in the receiving game. In the three seasons at Georgia, he's put up some pretty tremendous stats for a tight end. 2021, he had 56 grabs for 882 yards, 13 touchdowns. 2022, he had 63 grabs, 942 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And then this past year was actually his worst year statistically, but he also played the least amount of snaps this year. He went for 56 receptions, 717 yards, and six touchdowns. I think Brock Bowers is a guy that can enter the league and be a complete difference maker at the tight end position and give you that positional advantage that we're, that like the Travis Kelce's give you week in and week out. Right now, he's ranked as the number 7th overall prospect, according to Daniel Jeremiah, on his top 50 big board. I think Brock Bowers is going to be a top 10 pick. And he's put up insane numbers. He's put up a crazy collegiate career. So Brock Bowers at the 106 in tight end premium, I was very happy to select the draft button on him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Bowers is one of those guys that, you know, assuming he goes in the top half of the first round, like a lot of experts project him to go, I think there's no real chance that he's a top five fantasy tight end from a dynasty standpoint right away.
Yeah, I like Bowers here. I also like it for the fact just this draft class and this year for fantasy drafts, where I think if you have the 106 and you draft Bowers here, I think you're gonna be happy with it from a dynasty asset. But also, I do know that, you know, when you have picks like the 7 and the 8, definitely love being able to prolong some of those other position players and guys who we're about ready to talk here in the next couple picks too. So love it when you throw in a random tight end in the first round too, because all that does is just kind of knock a couple guys back too. So always love getting a tight end in the first round.
That brings me to the 107, and this is a guy that I can easily see people falling in love with throughout this process, and I could see him going at the 106 or maybe even higher. But that is Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington. He's 6'3", 215 pounds, so big-bodied receiver, but a big-bodied receiver that can move. He had an absolutely tremendous 2023 season with 92 receptions, 1,640 yards, and 13 touchdowns. He had a PFF grade of 89.8, which was good for number 10 out of 1,022 receivers. So Rome Odunze obviously had a great year. And I don't believe Neighbors or Harrison Jr., I don't believe they're testing at the combine. So that gives way to Rome, who has a chance to kind of put on a show. There's talks that he potentially could break 4.4, which would be insane for that kind of size. If he's even low 4.4s, and I mean, that's even breaks in the 4.3s, that'd be insane. But he's a guy that could, I think, skyrocket in value. And as a guy, I think, throughout this process, people are definitely going to view him higher and higher as this goes on. But I think he has all the tools, and he put up obviously the statistics to back up a top six, top seven pick. But Rome Odunze, he's somebody that I'm pretty high on at the moment. So yes, Rome Odunze is my 107.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. I mean, Rome is coming along strong here in the process. Had a great season in Washington last year. And, you know, depending if the format were different, if this was not a tight end premium league, I would be taking him above Brock Bowers at this stage of the game. But given the premium, I like having Bowers slightly ahead of him. But Rome, I think, could absolutely crush the combine, like you mentioned. And with that, I mean, that's the top seven picks here. So, you know, just recapping it quickly, Marvin Harrison Jr., 101, Caleb Williams, 102, Malik Nabers, 103, Drake May, 104, Jaden Daniels, 105, Brock Bowers, 106, Rome Odunze at 107. At the moment, that's kind of the top seven in the industry, and you can shuffle the order around in a number of different ways, but those are kind of the locked-in guys, at least for now, that a lot of the – most of the Dynasty community has some type of order there. So I think that was important to – kind of point that out. And as we go along here, we'll maybe give a little bit more detail for some of the lesser known prospects at this stage in the game. Surely we'll be flooded with information on these guys soon, but let's get the train moving here. I'm actually up with the 108, and this might come as a little bit of a surprise to people, because I know JJ McCarthy has been kind of coming on strong here and making a case that he's going to be maybe that 108 in super flex drafts, but I'm going to pivot away from him. I'm going to go to wide receiver. I'm going to go to Troy Franklin out of Oregon. You know, I'm just high enough on this guy to take him here. Pro Football Focus was high on him too. They had him rated 17th in the nation among wide receivers last season. He listed at 6'3", 187. He's a little bit on the lighter side for a taller receiver, but he makes up for it with speed. You know, reports have him running in the 4.3s, but we'll see how that pans out at the combine. But either way, like, if you put the tape on, you watch him play, like, he's just terrorizing defensive backs down the field. Also demonstrates an ability to create separation through hand fighting, which really is important for a receiver who doesn't have as much bulk to get off those jams. So it's great that he can use that ability to get open, get that separation from DB so he can open up, get full throttle going downhill. Not a perfect prospect by any means. Does need to improve on winning in contested catch situations, but he does have the frame to do it more consistently going forward as he gets better. And this might excite Aaron a little bit here as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I know Aaron really needs something else to be excited about as his team just won the back-to-back Super Bowls, but yeah, I know. But if we know anything about Andy Reid, he loves his fast guys. And Franklin, you know, he can fly down the field. You also see where he lines up on the field. You know, of the 710 snaps that he lined up in either out wide or in the slot, he played 86% of those out wide, which I think complements their offense really well with Rashee Rice, who was more of kind of a 50-50 slot guy versus out wide guy. You can kind of do both. But I think with Rice working in the short area, Franklin going deep, it's going to be a really hard for defenses to defend these offenses if Franklin's still available in the late first round. And just gives Mahomes another long-term weapon for Mahomes to work with, where Kelce is starting to get a little bit older. But I don't want to go too far down the hill of where he's going to go, where he won't go. But that was kind of just a spot where, based on the way that his game is tailored and the Chiefs needed for another skill player in that offense going forward, particularly a young cross-controlled one in the form of a rookie on a cheap contract, I just thought that kind of fit the bill there. So that's my guy, 108, is Troy Franklin.
Yeah, Troy Franklin's a good prospect. And he is, like you said, he has good size and good speed. He'd be a perfect MVS replacement. I don't think he makes it to pick 32. PFF has him ranked as the 24th best prospect. So I do think the Chiefs would have to trade up to get him. I mean, he had a great season this year for almost 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns at Oregon. But I you just got to love that size and speed combination. I think Troy Franklin is going to move up boards, and he's, especially if he goes crazy at the combine. If he runs in the 4.3s, I mean, people are gonna fall in love.
I love it. I love all this Chiefs talk, guys, and I'm not gonna lie. But I think that is kind of a good point to bring out, that I think once again it's another year where whatever, you know, whatever round it is or whatever player it is who the Chiefs draft at wide receiver, I think they're definitely going to be climbing rankings, you know, after seeing what the Chiefs kind of went through needing that complement wide receiver. But me at the 109, as another guy I've been seeing, obviously I'm on a lot of like Chiefs following posts and whatnot, but I've seen this guy being called up quite a bit as being a Chief too. And that's Keon Coleman. Especially if he does kind of drop a little bit in the draft, if he makes it like the maybe a second or third round pick or something like that. But Keon Coleman, I don't know if you know, it's kind of interesting looking at this year's draft class compared to last year's. We got a little bit more size this year, so I do think a lot of teams are going to be looking for taller wide receivers coming out of this class. Keon Coleman stands at 6'4", 216 from that Florida State team. So I like his red zone ability here. You know, there's a lot of notes saying how, you know, his athleticism. So I too am kind of anxious to see kind of how he performs at the combine, to see, you know, so his vertical, see what he can do with that height, a couple things like that. So Keon Coleman, I know you can kind of point to his collegiate stats where didn't have like glaring outlandish numbers, but I think his profile is a profile that, you know, NFL teams are kind of anxious to get their hands back on. Ken Coleman is who I took. This is actually where it starts to get that foggy area, that late first round picks you can either miss or you can hit home runs with, as we've seen in years past. This is kind of the Rashee Rice territory of last year too. So I went Coleman at 1.9.
Ethan, you got any thoughts on Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I think Keon Coleman's a guy that I would have probably fell in love with after the combine in years past, because I do think
he is. Old you would have loved you some Keon Coleman.
Oh yes.
Keon, Denzel Mims type.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Denzel Mims 2.0 right here. No, I think Keon Coleman has a chance to blow up the combine. I mean, at 6'4", 215 with the athletic profile that he has, I do think NFL teams are going to get excited for him. But it's not like he put it all on tape. It's not like he had like an insane career at FSU. He only had 50 catches this year for 658 yards. He did have 11 touchdowns. But no, Keon Coleman, I think his stock is going to go up just after the combine, because people love to overreact to the combine. But I'm trying to learn as these years go by that sometimes a 40-inch vertical and low 4.4 speed just doesn't make guarantee you a great receiver in the NFL. We'll see where he goes in the NFL draft. But no, Keon Coleman, he should be a guy that blows up the combine.
You're a Patriots fan and you're just now learning that?
Yeah, no, hey, the Patriots can't draft the receiver to save their lives, so it's all good.
Yeah, we like to find our receivers at the bargain basement bin at Walmart. And to be fair, when you're the greatest quarterback of all time, they make it work. But we're not digging up old history here. That's for sure. But I have some quick thoughts on Keon Coleman as well. I mean, this is about where he's going right now in these drafts or in these rankings and all that. So I'm not blasting the pick here by any means. This is kind of where he's going. But if this is going to be the price point on draft day, I'm probably going to be out on him. If you really dig in deep on him here, PFF has him graded as a 286th graded wide receiver in 2023. Again, 286, like nowhere near where you want to be in those rankings. And I totally understand those are not everything, but the production wasn't there either. He never exceeded 800 yards in three college seasons, two of which are at Michigan State, his final year at FSU. And, we'll see where the athletic testing and all that stuff goes. But I got to be honest, guys, I'm getting some Jonathan Mingo vibes here early in the rookie process.
Oh, boy. Don't say Jonathan Mingo. that's an ugly comp right there. I mean, I'm not going to give up on Mingo, but I'm not holding my breath. Mingo is one of those, another like big athletic guy that didn't really have the collegiate production and had a very, very poor rookie year. So I do agree. I think there's some players that are still left on the board that I'd rather have than Keon Coleman. I was happy to draft one of those players later on down the board. But yeah, no, I think Keon Coleman should slide down the board a little bit.
Yeah, right, Aaron, now that we all hated your pick that much, tell us about the next FSU player you took at 110.
It's hilarious. Yeah, so back-to-back FSU players. This is actually a good segue. So this is like right in the draft where if you want to zig and when others are zagging, then I think this could be a perfect time. First running back off the board, I went Trey Benson here.
Wait, running back in the first round in this class? Come on, Andy.
Wow, look at that. What do you know? So I said this one on purpose just because a lot of us out there you do need running backs still, right? Obviously we do know that times are changing, but so you got to draft running backs, right? And I think take one in the late first if you're kind of unsure on a couple guys in late rounds or for wide receivers, or maybe you don't want to get the late first or second round quarterback. I think this is kind of a great time to pivot and grab the first running back off the board. So with Trey Benson, I think we've talked it. I love just looking the first measurables, right? The 6'1", 220 back. Love that. It's funny. I don't know where they come up with these anticipated 40s, but hearing rumors, he may have an anticipated 4.3 or a sub 4.4 40, which that would be, man, a 6'1", 220. I think that would be pretty nice to have. Although we do have an interesting offseason of running backs, with a lot of running backs being free agents this year for vets. It will be obviously interesting to see where he lands up. But I like Trey Benson here. FSU, yeah, obviously help them have a pretty successful season. So I think Benson's a good talent, and relatively safe too, based on what I'm seeing. So I went Benson here at the 110.
Yeah, Trey Benson, first running back off the board. I know there's a lot of negative publicity about the running back class in 2024. I actually think there are there's a chance we find a few good ones in this class. Will Trey Benson be one of them? I'm not sure. He's one of these guys that I think he there's more to be desired when you look at his collegiate production. He is supposed to be this plus explosive athlete. So we'll see how he does at the combine. I think he needs a good combine to get the draft capital that we look for as dynasty managers. But no, Trey Benson, I do feel like he has all the tools. I just feel like he hasn't fully put it together. He's not my RB1 in the class, but I can definitely see it with 6'1", like 223 with his skill set. I understand the selection. I probably wouldn't have taken him here at the 110 though.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. This is too early for me. At 110, he's probably closer to a mid second round pick. In my book, I'm just not overly sold on this player either. You know, he really had the chance to, after Jordan Travis got hurt last season, had the chance to kind of solidify that team and let it run through him. It didn't really come through in that spot. And, you know, just kind of like Ethan said, a guy that really leaves more to be desired. You know, he has some home run hitting ability, and he's tough to get to the ground once he gets going. But I feel like this, to me, he reeks more of a guy who's really a really solid college running back that's just kind of more of like a forgettable pro who plays on his rookie contract, and then he finds himself out of the league. But that's kind of just where I'm at on him, and we'll just keep it moving. I'll get to my pick here, 111. I went to the quarterback position. You know, being a super flex draft, you can never have too many of those. So I'm going with J.J. McCarthy. I mentioned earlier that he was kind of creeping up close to that 108. So I'm rolling with the national champion winning quarterback. You know, a lot of this really has to do with what I think that the NFL thinks of J.J. McCarthy. And he has the feel of a quarterback that's kind of just a little bit of an afterthought maybe as the process gets going. And then by the time April heats up, he's kind of like a no-brainer going in the middle of round one or so. And I actually don't see him getting past the Vikings at pick number 11 or maybe even the Falcons as early as pick 8. And I think either spot would be great for fantasy purposes given the weapons that those offenses currently have. They're just kind of just missing that trigger man at quarterback. And I think McCarthy, you know, he might not be like, you know, elite, like the top three guys in this class, but I think he's, you know, he's shown pretty well and given opportunities. PFF has him graded as the 9th-ranked quarterback in 2023. In 2 years as a starter, he threw 44 touchdowns and just 9 interceptions. Doesn't do a ton with his legs, but is capable enough to get moving in a pinch if he has to. The big knock on him is that he doesn't have the statistical passing output on the yardage standpoint. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Michigan was just crushing people last year. 11 of their 15 games in 2023 saw them win by a margin of 25 or more points. Again, 11 out of 15. So pretty much every time out there, they were just trucking people into those fourth quarters, and McCarthy didn't have to push the ball. They were content to bring the backups in. There was a number of times where he got benched in those games, or if he was out there, they were just happy to run the ball at Blake Corum and the other guys that they have there at Michigan. So in the late stages of round one of a Superflex draft, I just couldn't pass up a quarterback that I could see being drafted in the top half of the first round of the NFL draft.
I agree with that. I think J.J. McCarthy, I think when it's all said and done, especially if he gets the draft capital that you just alluded to, I think we're going to be looking probably more at a top 8. I think McCarthy will probably slot in at the 108. And I think, like I said, that tier break will move probably back a spot. Because, I mean, it's tough to pass up on a guy in the middle of the first round that does get top 10, top 15 draft capital. I know statistically speaking, those quarterbacks that are drafted around like 14, 15, they're not their hit rates aren't ideal. But if the Vikings, the Falcons trade up or whatever, and he does get drafted in the top 10, I think that does change things. It obviously tells us that that NFL team believes in J.J. McCarthy. And I also think Harbaugh just wanted to run the hell out of the ball and play defense. I don't think J.J. McCarthy was in a system to really give him the counting stats that some of these other quarterbacks had. I know Harbaugh has been talking up J.J. McCarthy like crazy ever since he left Michigan. But so we'll see what happens. We'll see what the NFL thinks of him. We'll see how he does at the combine, at his pro day, and we'll see if he can increase his draft stock.
Yeah, he's a winner. I mean, I don't have the stats, or I don't have the note off the top of my head, but I know, you know, obviously with the national championship, but throughout his career, dating back to high school, he's always winning, you know, state championships, and you know, I think it, you know, it just his total record where you know, that's a intangible where if he becomes, you know, that starting QB somewhere. And he can not turn the ball over and win games for teams. That's kind of what you look for, at least. That way, you got a quarterback for the future in Dynasty is a great thing to consider when drafting QBs in Dynasty.
For sure, for sure. And yeah, he's a guy who is kind of have a little bit of a range of outcomes, but I was comfortable taking him there at 108. And so we'll definitely see how that pans out. But Ethan, close out round one. Let me know who you're taking at the 112.
At the 112, I'm taking Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver at LSU, 6'4", 205 pounds, just big, tall, vertical threat. He was a huge target for Jaden Daniels and was a big reason why Jaden Daniels had the counting stats that he had. I like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot. I mean, he's just a big, tall, fast target, and he had a pretty good 2023 season. He had 68 catches for 1,177 yards and 17 touchdowns, which those numbers were leaps and bounds better than his 2021 and 2022 seasons. So he does kind of have a later breakout age, considering he really didn't break out until his junior season. His sophomore campaign, he only had 31 catches for 361 yards and 5 touchdowns. But I do like the profile that in Brian Thomas Jr. I do think he's going to be a first round selection in April. So he's definitely a guy. If I get at the 112, I'd be pretty ecstatic.
Thomas is an interesting prospect to me, where he has a lot of those traits that you want. You know, he's obviously the big body; he can fly. All those things are great. I do kind of wonder what he's going to get at the pro level. In college, you saw a lot of defensive backs like kind of playing soft coverage on him because they were afraid of that speed. And you know, kind of the way to defend LSU is to kind of keep guys like Thomas and Malik Nabers in front of you and try to make LSU go on long drives. And you know, I think he's going to see a lot more, you know, that press man coverage at the next level. And I'm just not sure how he's going to react to it. He has the physical traits to do it, but all in all, he's kind of a raw prospect, I think. So you never know if it pans out. I think this is an appropriate range in the draft to take a shot on him at the late first, early second round. I'd be comfortable taking a go on him there, but he's a guy I think I look at. I see a wide range of outcomes with him as well. So I don't know if Aaron has any quick thoughts to add on that.
No, I think like just I'll speak more just on strategy where this is guys where you know you're gonna want to try to hit. So I think, you know, being the number two, obviously LSU was still a wagon of a team too, but you know, be you got to remember, you know, with Nabers lining up on the other side of you know, he wasn't getting that top corner each week on the collegiate level too, so it could be a rude awakening for him in the NFL too. But you know, I think it is just mentioning back, you know, that's one of the reasons where, I mean, I think at this point in the draft you can pivot. You got a couple of choices where if you want to stick to wide receiver, if you want to be bold and go for a running back or grab one of these quarterbacks we've been talking about here too. This is, I think, where it starts to get a little gray in my opinion.
Yeah, and that brings us to the conclusion of round one here. So we'll just reset the table quickly so you know where we are at on that front. Number one, again, we had Marvin Harrison Jr. Number two, Caleb Williams. Number three, Malik Nabers. Number four, Drake May. Number five, Jaden Daniels. Number six, Brock Bowers. Number seven, Rome Odunze. 108, Troy Franklin. The 109 is Keon Coleman. 110, Trey Benson. 111, JJ McCarthy. And 112, closing out the first round, was Brian Thomas out of LSU. And that brings us to the top of round two with the 201 here. We're going to be rattling these off a little bit quicker here as we go. But someone tell me who had the 201 and let me know who you went with.
I had the 201, and I went Xavier Worthy, a wide receiver out of Texas. He's 6'1", 172, and probably the fastest receiver in the country, the fastest receiver to be entering the 2024 NFL draft. He's not just an elite vertical threat. He also can vary his speeds and run an actual route tree. So he's not just like this vertical straightaway sprinter. He does struggle a little bit to separate against physical coverage. He's 6'1", he's only 172 pounds. So obviously he's a little slight of frame. So he definitely needs to get stronger. But in 2023, he had 75 receptions for 1,014 yards and 5 touchdowns. And this is a guy that just every NFL team wants one of these profiles on their offense, a guy that can just stretch the field. But a guy that's just, he's a guy that can stretch the field, but also can run a full route tree. So I think Xavier Worthy at the 2-1 gives you a ton of upside. And I think he has a chance to go pretty high in NFL drafts.
Yeah, he does. And the other thing I liked about his game too is that he brings special teams coverage, or utility, I should say, to teams too as well. Took multiple punts to the house in college and could see that translating at the next level as well. So I like that pick at 201. I went to the running back position for the first time for me in this draft anyway, and I went with Jonathan Brooks. He was actually my number one running back in this class, so I was very happy to see him go here or be on the board for me in early in round two. He was a bit of a one-year wonder at Texas, which of course makes sense considering he was running behind the likes of Bijan Robinson and Roshon Johnson prior to 2023. PFF rated him out well their eighth best running back a season ago. He was productive last season, of course, putting up 1,139 rushing yards with 10 scores on the ground, averaged 6.1 yards per carry, and added a receiving line of 25 for 286 and one score catching the ball. That was in 11 games played. So he did miss a few weeks. And of course, the big red flag, the reason he missed those few weeks is he's coming off a torn ACL that he suffered in November. So he faces an uphill battle to be ready for week one of the 2024 NFL season. But in the long run, he is my favorite RB in this class. And I think he'd likely be in the mix around the 108, 109, maybe 110 or so if he were not to get injured with that ACL back in November. So give me Jonathan Brooks here at the 202.
I like that you called that out there. He would have been my 110 pick where I went Trey Benson there. I think, I think that is definitely something to look at with that injury. That 110, 111 area, I think that is where, it definitely depends where they get drafted at. I mean, this is your James Cook area that I called that out a couple years ago too. So I think it definitely depends landing spots, but with Brooks having that injury there, definitely interesting to see what happens there. But good call. I think he's one of the most talented backs in this draft. But moving on to the third pick, I went with Bo Nix here. Another, if you're looking for a second round quarterback, I think Bo Nix is a safe guy. Obviously, we keep talking landing spot, but I think if Bo Nix can land himself on a team, or even if he's a backup, where maybe the starter's on his way out, maybe someone like Seattle or something. I mean, we're talking right in that same area or region area. I think that would be a perfect landing spot for Bo Nix. He talking about experience, that back and forth conversation we've had in previous draft classes with these quarterbacks only having maybe like one or two years experience, and then they just have one great year in college. But with Bo Nix having 60 career starts, 40 with just in the 2023 having that 45-3 touchdown to interception ratio is pretty impressive. So I think Bo Nix adds that experience, comfortability that maybe some teams would be looking for. And he also ran for 14 touchdowns in 2022 as well. So maybe a little bit of rushing upside as well. So I think Bo Nix is a very nice second round quarterback to grab here. And actually next I had, I had the 2-4 here. So kind of pivoting right back again to the wide receivers. This is actually like the sweet spot where I really, if you have mid, early to mid seconds, I really love nabbing wide receivers here. And that's just what I did with this Texas prospect. Correct my pronunciation here, but Anduani Mitchell is who I drafted here. The 6'4 wide out. Another guy with some height, weighing in at 196. Another wide receiver that can stretch the field. Does give me a little bit of Treylon Burks vibes where he struggles against contested catches. You know, kind of watching his tape there. So I think he's definitely a one where you got to kind of see what kind of offense he can land in, where it's kind of a catch and go, or kind of like a Rashee Rice type of role where you can get him a little bit in open field and shorter yards too. I think he can break away for some long gains too. But I went Mitchell here at the 204 spot.
Yeah, there you go. Definitely a worthwhile pick in that spot. You know, another guy kind of with a wide range of outcomes, but if everything pans out for him, you know, this guy could be the limit for a player of that ilk. I'm going to go here with the 205. I'm going to back to the running back room. I'm going to draft Braylon Allen out of the University of Wisconsin. Last time I was up here, I went running back, got my number one back in the class in Jonathan Brooks. Now I'm going to come up and get my number two running back in the class in Braylon Allen. If you look at him at Wisconsin, uber productive, you know, 3,494 rushing yards and 35 scores on the ground. Just ridiculous from a production standpoint. Didn't do much in the receiving game in the first couple years, but in his junior season, which was his final on campus, he had 28 for 132 reception or 132 receiving yards. So I would pigeonhole him as more of a kind of a capable check down option rather than a true receiving weapon out of the backfield, but he can do that in a pinch. Listed at 6'2", 238. One of the bigger running backs in this class, you know, should be able to physically withstand a big workload if he ever earns one at the NFL level. And you don't want to be guilty of as what's called the helmet scouting, where you just kind of make your assumptions about a player based on where they went to school. You know, unless of course you're talking about a TCU wide receiver, and then you can ignore those guys and not even look at them because you'll be doing yourself a favor in the long run. But in this case, it's a good thing with Wisconsin having a strong track record at the position with behind, you know, recent guys like Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, maybe James White sprinkled in too. I don't think Allen will necessarily match the peak of guys like Jonathan Taylor or Melvin Gordon from an NFL production standpoint, but I think he's going to be a valuable NFL piece that will provide some fantasy viability in the right situation. And he's also just going to be just 20 years old for the duration of his rookie year, which really is a nice plus in Dynasty with so many managers being more age conscious than ever before. So lock in Braylon Allen, running back out of Wisconsin at the 205.
I like that pick a lot. I like Braylon Allen a lot. He's a guy that I think the community likes a lot too. So he's one of those guys that if you can get in the second round, I think his value is going to be sustainable. I'm very, very excited to see what he can do at the NFL Combine. I mean, with his frame, I mean, I believe you said 6'2", 238. I've seen some places have 6'2", 245, just an absolute behemoth of a human being. And like you said, he has the college production. He has shown that he can catch passes. I mean, 28 receptions last season, that's over the threshold that we kind of look from these running backs. But no, I like Braylon Allen a lot. I think he can, I think he'd be a good running back on an NFL team. So I'm very excited to see him at the combine, and that brings me to the 206. And I went Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, 6'3", 213. I think we all know kind of the Michael Penix story. Wasn't my favorite pick that I had to make, but I felt like the middle of the second round. Obviously, I have no idea where he's going in the NFL draft right now. Michael Penix has a rocket arm, but he just has no upside on the ground. He's had a litany of injuries through his college career. When he was, I believe, at Indiana in 2018, he tore his ACL. And then in 2019, he injured his non-throwing shoulder out for the season. And then 2020, he had another ACL tear. He obviously throughout this, he transferred to Washington, where he had another injury in 2021, a shoulder injury to his throwing shoulder. So two shoulder injuries, two ACL tears. And then obviously he turned things around in 22 and 23. We had pretty good statistical seasons. This past year, he had 363 completions, out of 555 attempts, 65.4% completion percentage. He had 4,900 yards, 36 touchdowns, 11 picks. And like I said, only 8 yards rushing on 35 attempts. Granted, in college, they do take your rushing yards away for sacks. But obviously, he's not a threat on the ground at all. But like I said, he does have a rocket arm. He can make every NFL throw. Most of his production in college was actually outside the numbers. He wasn't too successful in the intermediate game and over the middle, which he's going to have to improve on. But obviously with that arm strength, he can take advantage outside the numbers. But Michael Penix Jr., I think this pick has a ton of upside, not knowing where he's going to go in the NFL draft, but obviously based on kind of where he lands, he could fall or he could rise. So that's my pick at the 206. Anybody wants to jump in and say anything quick on Michael Penix, I'm going to move on to the 207.
Yeah, real fast, I guess, on Penix. I mean, he's a guy who is the arm is there, like you said. He is someone who kind of needs everything to be really solid around him. He needs good protection. He needs quality skill players to get open in order to be effective. That's not necessarily a knock on him because I do think he can stand there and deliver the ball accurately, which is great. But it's when things get sped up on Penix, as we saw in the second half of that national title game where – you know, the pressure gets home. He starts feeling it. You know, when I believe it was his right tackle that was committing, you know, false starts and holding penalties left and right. And he gets sped up. And, you know, he was missing open receivers towards the end of that game. And it kind of caught up to him. So I don't hate the player. I don't love him for fantasy. I like the pick here at 206, but because he is a quarterback in the Superflex League and you never know where he's going to get drafted. But I think the process will tell us a lot in terms of where he gets selected in the NFL draft and how he looks at the combine.
Yeah, this pick was solely based on the fact that he was a quarterback in the middle of the second round. As you said, in the national championship game, Romo Dunze should have had a massive game, and Penix just couldn't seem to hit him when he was wide open. So, obviously not ideal, but
100% agree.
That brings me to 207. I went Ladd McConkey, 6 foot 185 pound receiver out of Georgia, and this guy has NFL a level of quickness and acceleration. He's a slot type player, but he does have a long speed to go with playing the outside as well. He didn't have the best counting stats at Georgia, but they just didn't utilize him as a focal point. I mean, he only had 30 catches for 483 yards this past season. I mean, he did in 2022, he did have 58 catches for 762. So a little down year in 2023, but Daniel Jeremiah has him rated inside his top 50 at 42. His Daniel Jeremiah's profile on him, he basically says he's slightly undersized, but he's a guy with excellent speed, quickness, and polish. He lines up both outside and in the slot. He's quick off the line and understands how to attack leverage of his man. So, I mean, he's a guy that knows how to run routes. He knows where to get open. And I think he could be a very good asset in the slot. And I think if he gets early second round capital, I think he's going to be a solid pick in the second round. And who knows? I mean, I don't know if he could be flirting with back into the first round. I know he is liked around NFL circles. I know at the Senior Bowl, people asked him who he compared his game to. And he said even a Cooper Kupp, but if he can give us Cooper Kupp level production in NFL, I'm picking him at the 101, but no, I know his stats in college don't really shout like, hey, I'm an early second round pick in the NFL, but his profile and kind of everything that I've seen and then what his projections are for the combine and the NFL draft, I don't think it was a bad selection at the 207.
Yeah, I think he's fine at 207, I guess. I'm not the biggest McConkey guy in the world. I mean, I don't see a top 40 pick out of this guy personally when I watch him play. You know, obviously the stats are what they are. They're not great. I mean, I think he can help an NFL offense for the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, he was probably going to be a good slot guy, be a good fit into that role. I mean, the Cooper Kupp comparison doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I mean, Kupp's 6'2", like 205 or something like that. McConkey's going to be more like 5'11 and like 185-ish, something like that. So he's not going to be drawing to comparisons like, you know, Megatron or anything like that from a physical standpoint. Or I wouldn't even say it's Cooper Kupp from a physical standpoint. But, yeah, I think he can help a team. Like, I would honestly struggle to take him in round two if I were an NFL GM. Just a deep receiver class. There's a lot of other talent on the board as well. But, yeah, 207, I mean, if he does get that draft capital, I mean, this is going to be a good pick at 207 if I'm wrong about where he gets selected for sure. But he's a guy to monitor for sure as the process plays out. And I'm going to go to – I'm finally going to take a second tight end off the board here. I'm going to go with Da'Tavion Sanders, yet another Texas Longhorn coming off the board. There's a big gap between the top tight end and Brock Bowers and number two, Da'Tavion Sanders. And rightfully so, Bowers is a beast, but I'm still really high on Sanders, especially in tight end premium formats. He was productive in two seasons at Texas, 600-plus receiving yards, and that finished out his career at UT, which is really a solid numbers considering he was sharing the field with two wide receivers that are going to be drafted on day two, guys that we've already mentioned. And if you look at PFF, they were in agreement as well, graded him as their 13th tight end off in the class last season. And if you really look at him, like catching the ball here in high traffic areas, it's one of the things he really excels at. You know, those windows are a lot smaller in the NFL, and those players that can help their quarterback out at the tight end position, those checkdowns, even in high traffic areas, that's really helpful. Line up in line about 75% of the time and split out wide in the receiver slots, either in the slot or out wide, 25% of the time. So he can move all over the formation if need be. Has some concerns as a blocker, but that's nothing new for a tight end prospect. You know, it does take some time to learn that position. So for that reason, I'm not overly high on him producing in year one, regardless of his landing spot, more or less. But I do think he's a guy who's going to, after a year or two of seasoning, he's going to get more run and carve out some space for himself out there in the field. And once he gets an opportunity, I think he can use some of that athleticism and to kind of work to his advantage. And that's really what I want at tight end is a good athlete with opportunity.
No, I think this is a great pick, especially in tight end premium to get Tre'Davion Sanders at the 208. I think could be a steal. He's one of those tight ends that he's a true athlete for the position. He has the long speed, the acceleration, and he moves like a big wide receiver. So he's a guy that can run all the routes. I think, as you said, a little grooming. I think Da'Tavion Sanders could work his way into a very nice role in the NFL as a receiving tight end. And at the 208 in a tight end premium format, I don't think you can go wrong there.
All right, fellas. So with the 2-9, I'm going Jalen Polk, the other Washington wide receiver. So here as a late second rounder, I think Polk, you know, kind of my theme, you know, with some of these wide receivers who I picked in this draft, in this mock draft, have some height on them again, right? So 6'2", another 6'2", 190 guy. All my guys have been 6'2 or 6'4 pretty much. So I do like that. As I said, I think that they'll definitely have that appeal as that was missing in last year once again. But I think with Polk, you know, nothing really stands out as far as like any speed. As far as his highlights just kind of shows up and does his thing. But he does go up and get the ball, right? So on contrary to my earlier pick with Mitchell, who really struggles against contested catches, Polk does like to go up and get it. So another kind of guy where I don't know if he can be a red zone threat as well. I know where you know, touchdowns are key, right, in fantasy points. So I think as a late round grab, Polk may be a good candidate here. So I went Polk at 2-9, and I had the back to back. So the 2-10, another running back off the board. I'm going with the Michigan guy, Blake Corum. You know, he had a pretty prolific college career, standing in at 5'8", 213. As Commish knows, I love that. I love that statute as well, as far as a running backs go. You know, that low gravity, center of balance type of running back I really love. But I do kind of see Corum as kind of more of a first and second down back. But I mean, I think he could screen maybe some goal line, or maybe at least, like I said, just getting a good snap percentage not really seeing him in the passing game too much and playing on third downs where just pass blocking and catching the ball, he probably needs a little work on too. So, but I went those back-to-back picks with Polk and then Corum at the 210.
All right, all right. I see where you're coming from there. I'm Blake Corum for sure. Good stuff there. But I'm going to go with another running back here at the 211. And this guy, he's not the best running back in this class, but he might have been my favorite to watch on tape so far. That's Bucky Irving out of Oregon. Just excellent from a production standpoint. Back-to-back seasons of over 1,000 yards rushing, over 6.3 yards per carry in both seasons as well. Got a combined 87 passes for 712 yards over his final two seasons in college. PFF's 18th graded running back in 2023, just very elusive in the open field. And, you know, he's only listed at 5'10", but anywhere you look, it's between 190, 195. So he's definitely not going to be confused with Mike Alstott out there, but, you know, when he weighs in at the combine will tell us a lot more about what his frame actually looks like at the NFL level. And I do think system fit and draft capital are huge factors for this guy. You know, if he lands on a team that wants a dual threat running back that has the opportunity to carve out a productive role for himself, I think he has the opportunity to earn it because I think he can do a little bit of everything. And that pass catching chop should keep him involved as well in the right system. So I think this is a guy who's very system and team dependent. And I think the draft capital and the testing on him is going to be huge as to where he fits in the NFL landscape as a rookie.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bucky Irvin, you put his tape on it. It's very, very exciting. I think the biggest thing for him is like, what is he coming at? I know he's listed around, I think you like 5'10", 194, 195. I don't know. He looks a little smaller than that to me, but obviously he has the production. He's been a great receiver. So he's definitely a guy that's going to be exciting to watch through this process. And that brings me to the 212. And I'm going running back. We're going running back again. So last three picks in this second round are going to be all running backs. And I'm going to go Jalen Wright, the running back out of Tennessee. And I think this guy has a chance to be the biggest riser out of almost any player, definitely any running back. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee is a top tier athlete for the position. His first step is insanely explosive. He can make devastating cuts and can just turn on the speed and bring anything to the house. Just looking at his tape, his contact balance looks insane on some of his runs. He's a reliable pass protector too. So he looks to me like he has a three down skill set. He has the requisite size, 5'11", 210. And like I said, he's going to be a top tier athlete. So I'm very, very excited to see what he brings to the combine. And I think the combine is going to give him a huge opportunity to skyrocket in drafts. He had 161 attempts for 897 yards this past season, 5.6 yards carry. And he had nine rushing touchdowns, only 17 receptions for 69 yards. But I do think he can be a capable pass catcher at the next level, but PFF graded him, gave him a grade of 91, which was 11th out of 441 running backs. So the PFF community thought he put a tremendous game on tape this past season. And I think he has a chance, like I said, to skyrocket after a solid combine. He has the requisite size, and I think he's going to have plus athleticism. Plus, I kind of like running backs to come out of Tennessee. Alvin Kamara was pretty good, so maybe he can follow in those footsteps.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? If your boy,
I would love it.
If your boy could turn into Kamara 2.0, who's still crushing the NFL level, another RB1 season in the books for him. But yeah, that was a fun exercise to run through that mock draft. Again, two round mock draft there that we covered. I'll just recap it very quickly here at the end. We had, again, 101, Marvin Harrison Jr., 102, Caleb Williams, 103, Malik Nabers, 104, Drake May, 105, Jaden Daniels, 106, Brock Bowers, 107, Rome Odunze, 108, Troy Franklin, 109, Keon Coleman, 110, Trey Benson, 111, J.J. McCarthy, the 112 was Brian Thomas. Second round here, we had Xavier Worthy going at the 201. 202 was Jonathan Brooks, 203, Bo Nix, 204 was Adonai Mitchell, 205 Braylon Allen, 206 Michael Penix, 207 Ladd McConkey, 208 Jatavion Sanders, 209 Jalen Polk, 210 Blake Corum, 211 Bucky Irving, and then the 212 Jalen Wright to close it out. So that was great. We'll have more coverage of the rookies coming up here, both on the podcasts, maybe some short videos, and also our blog will be up there as well. So make sure you're not missing any of that content. Again, check us out at SundaySurefire.com. And until next time, folks, peace.